Just imagine that after the United States had captured Baghdad and occupied Iraq, there had been no resistance at all. Just imagine that for a minute. What would the politicians have said? They would have claimed it as a big victory and a triumph. In fact, the Iraqi resistance, chaotic, savage in some senses, unorganized, decentralized, has made it impossible for the United States to claim a victory in Iraq. When George W. went in that incredible display of Hollywood machismo, I think he was at that time pretending he was Tom Cruise in Top Gun, and landed on the ship and said, "Mission accomplished." Do you remember that? How sad it looks now. The mission had barely begun. But because they had got away with it in Yugoslavia, they assumed that Baghdad would be like Pristina, that there would be no resistance, everyone would cave in, and the United States would be able to do what it wanted to do in order to shape an Iraq as a model of capitalist globalization in the Middle East. The big giant U.S. corporations, Bechtel and Halliburton, even before the war, were hovering above the country like vultures, and they assumed it was all going to go their way. How wrong they were. And those of us who warned them in public debate and arguments in the United States and in Britain that they weren't going to have it all their way, that Iraq was a country with a history, that Iraq was a nation which had resisted the British Empire and finally expelled its troops and air force from its country, that Iraq was a nation which had a history of resistance against the British, and that many of the people who led that resistance were still alive, very old, but still alive. And therefore there was a historical memory of what had happened in the past, and that this would have an impact. And still they didn't believe us. And you know, underlying this is a strange business, which is that because the United States has never been occupied, nor Britain, nor for that matter Australia, except the white occupation which started and took the land away, but for the politicians who run this country, Australia has never been occupied, they cannot imagine that when a nation is occupied, people don't like it. They don't like it. It's a basic elementary thing. They've never been occupied. They've never been ruled by colonial rulers. But all the countries that have, India by the British, Indonesia by the Dutch, Africa by the British, Vietnam by the French and the United States, Algeria by the French, there is a history. And that is a history not simply of empire, but a history of resistance. People say to me, mainly in the United States, but not always, not only, isn't it a bit old-fashioned to use the word imperialism? To which I reply, isn't it a bit old-fashioned to be occupying countries again? If you occupy a country, bomb its cities, kill its people, you expect to be applauded for it by that country and its people. Not your tame toadies in the media, but by the people. They should applaud us for doing this. We are doing it in their interests. In fact, as we know, no empire in history has ever acted in the interests of the people they've colonized. They always act in their own interests. And the United States is not only no different, but they say it. Condoleezza Rice said it 6 months ago. the principal aim of our foreign policy is to defend our own interests. Bush doesn't know what he says half the time, but even he understood it, what she was saying. And then talking about Condoleezza Rice, who wanders the world like an imperial princess, she arrives in Pakistan, where we have a military regime, and after meeting with the military leaders of the country, she gives a press conference. And at the press conference she says, Pakistan should be a model for every Islamic state. Think about it. If that is what she really believes, what the hell did they overthrow Saddam Hussein for? He was a military guy, ran Iraq with his army, secular, he wasn't religious, like Musharraf now. So what was the problem? And why threaten Syria? They're just like Pakistan from that point of view. So there are inconsistencies, to put it mildly, in the arguments used by the servants of the empire in justifying what they're doing. No single argument in one part of the world can be used in another part of the world. So democracy is fine for the Ukraine, where a lot of money is spent by the National Endowment for Democracy in the United States to build up a movement to topple the leaders, but it's not fine in Uzbekistan. And it's not fine in Uzbekistan because the dictator running that country is a staunch ally of the United States and has permitted them to build military bases there. So what is in the interests of the United States, that is what U.S. foreign policy and imperial action is, and it was ever thus. The British were exactly the same. Likewise, the French, and the Germans, and the Dutch, and the Belgians, and before them the ancient empires. They were always the same. The thing is, and this, of course, is something which is now beginning to create elements of a panic in the United States, is how the hell are we going to get out of Iraq? They have problems. What are the problems?